Sea of Red, it's time for another Fireside Chat, the official podcast of Flames fans. It's go time.
Well, Matt, it's been a busy week for the Flames, but guess what? They clinched a playoff spot.
Oh, I know. It's about time. 7 years is a very long time in the wilderness.
The 7-year drought is over. Let's talk about how we got there, shall we?
Definitely.
On March 24th, 2004, the Flames and the Coyotes played. This was a 4-0 Flames win, which is always nice to see when you can get a shutout. Roman Turek back for the Flames here. It's been a while. As we know, Noodles was backing up this team for a little while. Nice to see Turek back. Flames get goals from Marcus Nielsen, Craig Conroy, Jerome McGinley, and Marty Jelena.
Yeah, the Flames, after losing the previous game against Dallas, they needed to put a lot of focus on getting 2 points as they try to get to that clinching of the playoff spot. And right off the hop, they were going pretty well toe-to-toe with the Coyotes and got a goal 11-11 into the first period by Nielsen. And then once the second and third period came on, the Flames just ran over the Coyotes.
Yeah, it was a fun game to watch. It's always a fun game to watch when you dominate like that. And really, in this case, your top guys being top guys, right? I mean, that's what you need to see. Jerome needs to be on the board. Craig needs to be on the board. Jelena, great to see him on the board. I think going into the playoffs, he could be a very impactful piece for the Flames.
I agree.
I don't know how impactful, but I just get a sense here. So we have a back-to-back on the 25th. The Flames and the Sharks are going at it. And unfortunately, this one, the Flames
don't... Yeah, this was a frustrating game.
Don't end up with the win. Especially after the night before, right? You got a 4-0 win. Then you come against the Sharks. And yes, we get goals from Jelena, Saprykin, but it's not enough.
No, and you go down 2-0 in the second period. And you battle all the way back to tie it in the third with only 4 minutes remaining. And you look like you're heading to overtime. And then Vincent Danfus scores with 24 seconds left in the game. And, blowing it before getting at least the 1 point in overtime.
Yeah, it's, I thought at some points here. I mean, the Flames, they got 2 against them in the second, but I don't know. I didn't feel like they were fully out of it there, but it's frustrating. I think they were in this for most of the game. Near the end, it didn't work out.
Yeah, and the late penalty that Conroy took against Chichu, the goal was scored right at the end of the penalty, so it was not a power play goal, but it might as well have been, and just disappointing way for that one to turn out.
Yeah, it sure was. It was, not what we want to see as Flames fans. Those were both road games. The Flames then came home on Saturday night, the 27th, March 27th, 2004, and they were playing against the LA Kings at home, Hockey Night in Canada game. This one, better result, kind of the flip of the last one, a 3-2 overtime win for the Flames. Chris Simon back in the lineup gets the first goal for the Flames, then Craig Conroy and Sean Donovan also scoring. Donovan gets that overtime winner.
Yeah, it was a solid contest. Huey did a very good job for the Kings. I thought he was the difference maker and the reason why the Kings got a point in this game. But the Flames, are tracking ever closer to a playoff spot at this point and got their 90th point on the season. And, it's been a long time since the Flames have had 90 points in a year.
It's been a weird year, and Sean Donovan is 18th. We're going to talk about him later. He's having a heck of a season.
Oh, I know. Just a stellar season. And you need players like that to come out of the woodwork and just have a career year.
That's a big reason why the Flames are where they are, right? I mean, even Chris Simon, his 17th goal in this one, he's not a guy who's known for scoring close to 20 goals a year.
No, he had that one really good year with Washington. Other than that, he's just been a solid and steady depth player, and he's come in ever since the Flames acquired him and played adequately in whichever role that the Flames have put him in.
For sure. And capping off the week the way it started, taking on the Coyotes exactly 1 week after the road game. They play here. Three-day break. They were off the 28th, 29th, 30th, and then on the 31st, the Flames and the Coyotes here at the Dome. March 31st, 2004, Calgary Flames win 1-0 against the Phoenix Coyotes, and this game clinches their playoff berth. Jerome McGinley gets his 40th of the year. I think it's kind of apt that he gets number 40 on the day they clinch. The Pengrove Saddle Dome was ecstatic here.
Yeah, and he's tracking to be a contender for the Rocket Richard this year, and along with Ilya Kovalchuk and Rick Nash, they're all closing in on first, and it'll be interesting how that comes down over the next week to see who might win that trophy. But Mika Kiprusoff played excellently, made 27 saves in the win, and for the first time in 7 years, the Flames are headed to the postseason.
What a feeling, Matt. I mean, it's been a long time for us here in Calgary. It's been a long time since the Pengrove Saddle Dome was at any, you know, NHL playoff hockey. I'm excited.
Yeah. And like I managed to get, the Flames were offering that game pack, thing for buying a game pack or seasons, next season. And so I did manage to score myself some playoff tickets, and I'm looking forward to two or three games, in the next couple of weeks and actually being in attendance.
Yeah, we got two regular season games and then playoffs. We'll talk in a little bit here. We have no idea who they're taking on, but we'll talk about some options. But before we do, I just wanted to go back to Shane Donovan. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, has played in the league for a while. He's been really in the league since 94, 95. You know, this season he's 29, still a very young guy, 42 points right now, 18 goals, 24 assists. This is by far his best season. Before this was 2000-2001 when he played with Atlanta. He had 23 points. What I mean, do you think it's just the fact that he's, you know, he's playing a bigger role with the Flames? What do you think is the, I guess, the big difference here?
Well, as former Flame Mike Vernon used to describe his stick handling, it was like he was trying to skate with a puck in a bucket. So he was never really the most fluid of players, but everything just seems to have come together right now and for him. And he and his new line mates, Marcus Nilsson and Ville Niemenen, have just had instant chemistry and are all looking even better than they would have normally
this
been.
This is really one of those lines that's the sum of its parts, or better than the sum of its parts.
Yeah, because all three of them are playing like high-quality second-line players, both offensively and defensively, and Donovan and Niemenen are being the two wrecking balls, and Nilsson's providing the good two-way play, so that way those two guys can create havoc, and they're causing all sorts of turnovers, and it's leading to good scoring chances and plenty of goals.
Yeah, it's definitely great to see that. That's really what you want to be seeing out of a line here. And, you know, going to the playoffs, that's definitely what they really need.
Well, especially with the foot speed of all three of the guys, that, you know, it's hard for the defending players because, like, all three of them are in on you. And, you know, you're given very little time and space to actually separate the puck from the oncoming forward. And, you know, they kind of look like sharks in the smelling blood in the water, where they're just, you know, on you, and you know it doesn't take much for a puck to be turned over, and you know they're so good together that it causes a lot of good scoring chances off of what should have been normally like nothing plays.
I think a big part of this too is he's played every game so far. Like he's played in all 79 games, which even the year that he got his 23 points, only played 63 of those games. So, you know, the fact that he's staying healthy and he's able to play, I think that's really helping his production as well.
Yeah.
Well, talking about Sean Donovan, we talked about some of these other guys, Matt. As we know, it's just past the trade deadline here in 2004. The Flames have been making some interesting maneuvers in the last month. Why don't we check in on some of these young guys that the Flames brought in, and even some old guys, but some new faces. How's that sound?
Yep.
March 8th, the Calgary Flames made a deal with the Florida Panthers, trading their 2004 second rounder for Marcus Nielsen. And here's a guy I think has made an immediate impact on this team.
Yeah, the Flames realistically only had a couple of center options. And, you know, when you have Stefan Yell, Matthew Lombardi, and Craig Conroy as your main centers, and then not very much else beyond that, it's hard to, you know, go into a playoff situation with only three centers. And Nielsen has provided a lot of stability for the team and allowing the Flames to properly roll four lines, and has played well and fit in like a glove with both Donovan and Niemann.
Yeah, I mean, he's not having a great season points-wise, I guess, but he's fitting in exactly where the Flames need him to be.
Exactly.
You know, and coming from Florida, probably a very different change coming to Calgary in March from Florida weather. But, you know, you sometimes see guys like that, especially coming from the East to the West, needing some time to adjust and whatnot. I'm really pleased that he's jumped right into the lineup and made an immediate impact.
Well, it also helps going from a bottom feeder team like the Florida Panthers to a team that's actually going to the postseason.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, it makes, you know, it makes it a lot easier for you to get up for games when it's getting to the point where you're actually going to be going to the playoffs.
And really, that's what you want as a player, right? You want to get moved. I think if you're going to get moved to the deadline, you want to go to a team that has a playoff shot. Normally, you're not getting that call to come to Calgary, but this year, that's got to be a welcomed call.
Yep.
The other trade, and we talked about him earlier, Chris Simon. The Flames traded big trade here. I'm not quite sure what to think of it. Still, you know, we've had almost a month to think about this, but on March 6, 2004, the Flames traded Noodles, Jamie McLennan, their backup goaltender, Blair Betts, and Greg Moore to the New York Rangers for Chris Simon as seventh. And I like Chris Simon. I know that, you know, they probably needed to move Noodles because Turek's back now. But even, I mean, Betts, I think there was something there. What do you think of this one?
Well, it's one of those where, you know, you need to trade depth for a better player. And the Flames, you know, like moving Blair Betts, like he was playing very adequately as the fourth line center, and Moore looks like he might be an NHLer moving forward, but, you know, it's kind of up in the air. And when you have three goaltenders, you know, McLennan, as well as he's played for the Flames and how much everybody likes him, you know, what I don't think anybody expected Kiprusoff to go off as much as he has this year. And, you know, he's on the verge of breaking an NHL record for lowest goals against average and best save percentage. You know, so it's one of those where, you know, you just don't need three guys. And as much as it's disappointing to see someone like Noodles go, getting what should be a pivotal piece for this team heading into the postseason makes a huge difference.
What a weird goaltending system we've had, though. I mean, coming into this season, who would have expected Mika Kiprusoff, who they acquired late in the season, to come in and, you know, look as good as he has? I mean, you know, we've used a lot of goalies this year. Kiprusoff, Noodles, Turek, Danny Sabourin. You know, I would have expected Noodles, Turek to kind of be the guys they'd ride. And Kiprusoff's really come out of nowhere.
Yeah, well, injuries and opportunities because of injuries end up, you know, causing situations where you need to find somebody to play. And, you know, and Kiprusoff seems to just have been buried behind two really good goaltenders in San Jose and just needed a shot. And yeah, he's taken that ball and running with it.
This Chris Simon deal, I don't think is a deal that former GM Craig Button would have made. This is very much a deal that the new GM, Daryl Sutter, has his fingerprints all over.
Yeah, you need big and tough, especially in the postseason. And Simon is a bit of a wrecking ball and certainly can hit and fight with the best of them. So
yeah, I mean, we've already got Christoph Oliwa, right? And most teams don't have a couple of these guys, but You know,
well, especially like the difference between Simon and Ole was that Simon's can also chip in 15, 20 goals, where Ole was, like, he might get a goal in the playoffs if he plays, but, you know, he only gets like one or two goals a season. So, you know, Simon's a more regular contributor who also can fight with the best of them.
Yeah, it's true. And then we talked about Ville Niemanen as well. Ville Niemanen came over a little bit earlier than the other guys, February 24th, 2004, from Chicago for Jason Morgan and a conditional sixth. And, I mean, I don't know. I don't think there's much to Jason Morgan. I think this is a good deal. I don't know how long Niemanen will stay in town, but I think for a team that's poised for the postseason, I think sort of like the Nielsen deal, this is the right deal for right now.
Yeah, and he's a little wrecking ball. I'm surprised at how good he's played with us thus far. Definitely a character on the ice. He kind of looks like a real life version of the Joker out there. And, you know, with his weird smile he has as he's chasing after people. And yeah, it's interesting, and the instant chemistry he, Nilsson and Donovan have is just something special.
Yeah, and, you know, as we talked about, Donovan's been having a good year so far. I think even better since February 24th when Niemanen came in. They just really seemed to complement each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, really all three of those guys. I mean, we've seen Nilsson and Niemanen playing a lot with Donovan on that kind of third line for the Flames this year. Since they've all come in, which has been less than a month. But like we said, that whole line just really clicking and getting the best of each other. And Matt, I think we'd be remiss to talk about where the Flames are at and the fact they've clinched a spot in the 2004 playoffs without talking about some of the young guys that made this happen and some of the young guys that, you know, are a big part of the Flames roster this year. So why don't we go from youngest to oldest? We'll talk about all the guys that are in 24. Guy who's worn two numbers this season, number 49 and number 18, Matthew Lombardi. I think a lot of expectations for Matthew Lombardi here. We know that he was a seventh round pick, 215th overall in the 2000 entry draft, re-entered the draft and went third round, 90th overall in the 2002 entry draft by the Flames. What do you think of what we're seeing from Lombardi?
Wheels galore. He is
kid can move.
He is one of the fastest players in the NHL. The only knock on him is that his hands don't seem to move as fast as his feet do, but you know, he can really catch people off guard because you think that you got time and space and then he's already past you and has a breakaway, and you know, it'll interesting to see how he proceeds, but he is looking like he'll be a fixture for this team for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, he's got, you know, 16 goals, 13 assists, 29 total points. I guess the only thing I worry about a little bit is the 32 penalty minutes that he's got. And some of these seem like he's just kind of trying to play. I imagine the way Daryl Sutter's trying to get this team to play. Some of them, though, just seem like undisciplined penalties.
Oh, and that's true of most young players. You know, you take some stick infractions that you shouldn't do, and you learn. And there's very little, I think, to complain about Lombardi at this point. Like, you know, you just hope that he can learn to improve his offensive ability to go along with his gift of speed that he has.
I know we've got some really good rookies this year. Andrew Raycroft, Michael Ryder, Trent Hunter, John Michael Lyles. Do you think that Matthew Lombardi's anywhere in that Calder Memorial Trophy discussion?
Possibly, but I don't think he is going to be a finalist.
No, I mean, I think we like him. We see him a lot here. He's doing a lot for our team, but I agree with you. I'm not sure that he's, you know, a guy that when we look at the impact across the league, he's having that. Mm-hmm. Another guy here, the next youngest, we're number seven, a right winger, also 21, Chuck Kobosu. Chuck Kobosu was the Flames' first round 14th overall pick in the 2001 entry draft. And this is, he's played a few games here. He played 23 games last season, splitting his time in the NHL and AHL. This year is really his first time playing a full season here. He's got 6 goals, 11 assists, 17 total points. This is a guy that I think has some durability. I think he's going to be around the league for a while. What do you think of him?
Yeah, he's looking like a responsible enough two-way player. The offense just hasn't translated yet to the NHL level. But, you know, his whole game, he's looking like an NHL player. It's just where he fits eventually. Will, you know, it will just depend on if his offensive game translates fully or not.
Yeah, I mean,
there's flashes all the time. It's just,
yeah, I mean, I think this guy's capable of a 40 plus point season on the right team, but I don't know. I just, I think consistency, like you said, and you know, becoming that consistent NHLer is really going to be the most important thing here.
Yeah.
22 years old, Oleg Saprykin, their first round pick in 1999. He was their 11th overall pick. Coming into the team this year, Saprykin is wearing number 19 and not having a bad season so far. I mean, he's been with this team for a while. He's not a rookie. He's played games as far back as 99, 2000, but I'd say last year he had a full-time spot. This year doing really well. What do you think of Saprykin?
He's certainly falling into the full-time NHLer role, and he's looking like a quality second third line player on most teams. Good enough two-way play, and just wish that he'd stop shooting the puck from the corners though. It just seems like such a low percentage shot, but yet he keeps doing it.
You know, I don't know enough. The only thing I can think is maybe with the bigger ice he's used to back home in Russia, that's a more viable play.
Yeah, it just seems like a bit of a wasted shot, but, you know, he does score on occasion from there, but it's, you know, it's like skate towards the center a bit, then shoot it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I think he's got third line potential, but unless he stops doing stuff like that, I don't know how long his NHL career is going to be.
Well, he's looking like an NHL regular now, so we'll see. It's one of those where it'll be interesting to see if he can figure out how to score at the NHL level on a more consistent basis, because he has all the tools and the size and the speed. It's just not sure if he'll put it all together, because he could be a 25-30 goal scorer if he puts it all together. It's just not quite clicking quite yet.
I think we could say the same of the next guy too. This is a guy that came over from San Jose, so obviously a guy Daryl Sutter liked. Wearing number 20 is Lynn Loines. Came over this year. He's played pretty much about a handful of games, actually about 10 games at this point, and he has 2 points.
Yeah, he's a quality 13th forward, and he'll fill in if there's injuries, but as much as we like the Burning Loins nickname, he's just there. He's a filler guy, and we'll see.
He's the kind of guy I think is going to get a lot of jumps between the NHL and the AHL in his career.
Yeah, your prototypical 13th forward.
So Matt, we talked earlier, we've had a lot of goaltenders playing this year, 4 goalies. Danny Sabourin, kind of a weird case. Fourth round pick, 108th overall for this team. He's played his, you know, fair share of games at the QMJHL, the ECHL level, the AHL level. Now getting a bit of a shot in the NHL. Played 4 games for us this year. Do you think this guy's got an NHL future? Do you think this is going to be a career minor leaguer? What do you think?
Well, he didn't look terrible. And I think he would have gotten more of an opportunity with this team had it not been for Kiprusoff coming in and blowing the doors off.
Yeah, if Kipper didn't get airlifted in from the Sharks, I think you're totally right. I think he probably would have been, as terrible as the pair sounds, Noodles and Sabourin as our pair this year.
Yeah, and, you know, like, especially with Turk being hurt, and, you know, it would have likely been Noodles and Sabourin, but when Noodles got hurt as well, right before we acquired Kiprusoff, you know, like, there was no situation where having Sabourin as our starting goaltender for an extended period of time made any sense. So, like, it made entire sense to go out and get Kiprusoff, and you know, much to Sabourin's detriment, Kiprasov just blew the doors off of things, and you know, I do not foresee him having an opportunity with this club moving forward, just because of the fact that Kipper's gone into god mode, and you know,
well,
you just kind of ride that dragon as long as you can.
Yeah, and who knows what Kipper looks like next year? I mean, we've seen a lot of goaltenders that look good for 1 year and, you know, don't follow it up. So who knows if this is a good year for Kiprasov? Maybe Kiprasov is, you know, a gem that that, you know, nobody's found. I don't know how good this guy is. If it's 1 year, if this is going to be a guy that 20 years from now we're raising the rafters of the Sal Dome, I have no idea. But, you know, I don't know that Danny Sabourin is going to learn a lot backing him up if he's a starter. I think this guy really probably needs to go back to the HL a little bit, polish his game, and maybe play for a bad team where he can get some more starts.
Yeah, exactly. Because
Kipper seems to be able to start, like, every game. And, again, if that happens again, you're giving this guy 10 starts. I don't know how viable that is.
No, and realistically, like, if, you know, Kiprasov does play the majority of the games, you know, like, you're going to have to just cycle in veteran backups like McLennan, where, you know, you have somebody who's used to playing once or twice a month, not, you know, like, two out of every six games.
And, you know, well, we can talk more about the goalies when we talk about the playoffs, but that's a worry I have about Roman Turek, is this a guy who's used to playing regularly. I don't know how well he's going to do if he's sitting on the bench behind Mika Kiprasov.
Well, he looked good in the Coyotes game earlier this week, getting the shutout, so it's kind of hard to say. Yeah.
Let's move to the back end. Two more guys here we'll talk about. The last two, and these are two defensemen. One of them's Robin Regier. He's currently 23 years old, played for this team for a while. I mean, we've seen him really play NHL minutes since the...
And he has not looked good up until this season. Like, and I think the crafty acquisition of Rhett Warner from Buffalo for the Chris Drury and Ryan Precht in the Chris Drury trade was huge for this team. And Regier has learned a lot of what it takes to be a good defensive defenseman from Warner, from Daryl Sutter. And, you know, like, he's on a different level than he was last year. And
this,
like,
is why it's important to have veterans on your team.
Yeah, especially, like, to have young guys like Regier, you know, and learning from a guy who's been to the Cup Finals a couple of times in Warner, you know, you need to have guys like that as quality teachers, so that way they know how to play in certain situations. And Regier's just taken his game to another level this year and is really cementing himself as one of the top defensive defensemen in the NHL.
I agree. I mean, he's been around this team since, you know, since the 99-2000 season, but like you said, really hasn't broken out. And I think, sort of like we talked about with Kiprasov, I don't know if this kid can really break out or not. I don't know what his future's got. He's 23, still very young. But, you know, I have to imagine with him, if he can keep this up and if he can learn from this, I think that he could be in Norris contention in the future.
Possibly.
You know, good season so far. Like you said, I think Warner's done a lot for him. Brett Warner's the guy I think we're going to hear a lot from going forward. I think he could be really an unsung part of this organization and getting a lot out of Regier. And that's what we need in a year like this.
Mm-hmm.
And the last guy we'll talk about is Jordan Leopold, the guy they call Leo. He was actually drafted by Anaheim in 99. Again, a guy who's been around the league for a while with the Flames. Started here in 2002 at the NHL level. And now...
His offensive game has really taken a step forward this year.
It has, yeah. It sure has. I mean, you know, he looked like a good defenseman last year, I'd say, you know, but much more of a defensive defenseman. And I think that was one of the knocks on him, is he needed a better offensive game.
Well, and, you know, having a guy like Tony Lidman to be there as well helps him just to learn a quality two-way play. And, you know, he's put up quite a number of points this year as a defenseman. But, you know, he's playing very well with Regier, and that pairing seems to, like the Niemann and Nilsson-Donovan line, it seems to be like their chemistry is elevating them higher than either of them is individually.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, he played three games last year with the St. John Flames, most of the year with the Flames, I guess the Calgary Flames. But, you know, this is a guy, as we've talked about in the past, who came from college to the NHL. That's always a tough jump, but I think he's making that jump well.
Yep.
And that's not something that you always see from these young guys. So good to see all those young players. I think, really, the energy of these young guys is really what's propelled the Flames to where they are today.
I agree.
I think if you would have had a lot of the guys that were here, you know, when Button was here, or some of the veterans you often see, I mean, you know, these guys are really part of a resurgence here for the Flames. And I'm so glad that Daryl Sutter has, you know, brought in Niemann, Simon, Nielsen, guys like that, Warner, to complement them. But if these guys are going to have any success in the 2004 playoffs, they really need these young guys to step up and keep playing the way they have.
I agree.
And that brings us to the playoffs, Matt. So looking ahead to the first round, who would have thought not only the Flames would be in it, but that we'd be in it and have so many possibilities for who we could be facing here?
I know. There's four teams to choose from, and it's like, okay, which team are we going to lose to? You know, like, because, like,
pick your poison,
all,
right?
Yeah, all four of them are dynamite teams. Detroit Red Wings are the Detroit Red Wings. Like, they're an amazing team. The Colorado Avalanche, you know, you have Joe Sakic, Peter Forsberg, Milan Hayduk, Alex Tanguy, Paul Kariya, Timu Solani. It's just like, shoot me now. And then, you know, Vancouver and San Jose are both very stacked teams as well. Like, it's going to be tough against no matter who. And, you know, frankly, like, I'm figuring that regardless of our opponent, it's going to be maybe a 5 or 6 game series, and then we're going home for the year. But
yeah, and I, you know, I hope these young guys cherish those 5 games, because I don't know this team is built for another playoff run next year the way they are now. I think this might be a bit of a flash in the pan. We don't even know if there's going to be hockey next year and what that might look like with, you know, the lockout and all that that's pending, or pending lockout, you know, negotiations, all that sort of thing. If that'll be nothing, if
resolved or not, yeah,
be a half season like the last one, if that'll be a full season, what that looks like. But I really hope these guys take it as a learning experience.
Yeah, and you know, like, you have a goalie like Kiprusoff, and like, as good as he's been, you know, like, is he going to be this player next year? And you know, that it does happen where you have guys that are awesome and then they just stay awesome. Like Dominic Hasek was a backup for Chicago for a number of years, and
wasn't
then
he Belfour's backup?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, like, he was just okay. Then he went to Buffalo and became Dominic Hasek. And you know, and then you have guys like Jim Carrey, who, you know, was great for 2 seasons and then vanished from the earth after that.
Off and making movies. No, they're different guys.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just odd. So you never know with goaltenders. They're kind of just voodoo. And you got a good one, you just hope that it stays. And, you know, so frankly, like, this might be the Flames' best opportunity to make some noise in the playoffs, especially with all the chemistry that all the players have with each other. But it's going to be a hard series regardless. And, you know, like, even if they win one series, it's like, okay, well, you beat Team X, then you're going to have to beat Team Y.
Running the gauntlet of these 4 teams, I mean, like, that's impossible, isn't it?
Yeah, like, it would be one thing to say beat Vancouver. But then, you know, like, you're going to have to play either San Jose or Detroit or Colorado. And then you'll have to play another one like that in the next round. Like, you know, and then if you get to the finals, like, it's going to be a god team from the other side. Like, it's just going to be a ridiculous gong show. Like, there's no way that this team, you know, like, it should just be happy with 2 or 3 games at home in the Salad Dome. It'll be fun and, you know, hope for another one.
Sometime before the next 7 years.
Yeah, exactly. And just enjoy and cherish the fact that, hey, there's playoffs for the first time in 7 years, and hopefully this is just the start of something.
If you had to rank these from, I guess, least painful to most painful, what would your list of teams you'd want the Flames to go against be?
Well, the team that I'm hoping for in the first round is Vancouver, just because of the fact that, frankly, you know, as much as, like, Vancouver is a very well-built team, you know, if we end up facing Colorado in the first round, like, they're neck and neck in the standings, and, you know, if we play Colorado, that's not going to be easy. Like, Timo Solani has our number and has had it for, like, his entire career, and he always seems to score one or two goals against us every game, so, like, I really don't see the Flames beating Colorado. So if the Flames even want to get a chance out of round one, I think Vancouver is the way to go.
Vancouver's still got a lot of firepower, though. I mean, Naslin, well, Brandon Morrison, well, Todd Bertuzzi, well, the Twins.
Well, Bertuzzi's out for the year because of being suspended. So
does that apply to the playoffs as well?
Yes. So, like, he's... It's one of those where, like, the Flames will have a little bit of an easier time with Vancouver, but it's not going to be an easy time against Vancouver. Like, we're likely going to lose in 6 or 7. Like, I don't see us moving on from there.
The thing that worries me about Vancouver is the amount of shot chances they can get from the blue line. I mean, Brent Sopel, Matthias Olund, Sammy Salo, Ed Jovanovski. Like, these guys have a lot of puck movers on that blue line, and I don't know.
Oh, I know.
The Flames are ready for that.
No, and it's going to be a... you know, like, I'm not having any expectations of actually beating Vancouver if we match up against them, but it's going to be a war to get through each of the games, and you know, you just have to hope that you can grind out a win here and there and hope that your total ends up to be 4. And, you know, it's not going to be easy, though.
It's not. And, you know, again, I mean, that those top guys, Naslund, Morrison, Sedins, that's a tough group to go against. I've always liked Brendan Morrison. It'd be interesting if this guy ever ends up in Calgary.
Well, there's lots of high-quality players on Vancouver that I wouldn't be disappointed that if they ever became Flames, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see.
So it's Vancouver's just your number one team you want to face. Who's number two?
Probably the San Jose Sharks, just because I don't think that they're as good as either of Detroit or Colorado. Nabokov scares me, frankly. Like, there's a reason why San Jose was okay with trading Kiprusoff, because Nabokov is the real deal.
Well, and even Vesa Toskala, I mean, you know, yeah, he's had a good season as a backup, too.
Yeah, and it's one of those where the Flames, like, they're basically hooped regardless of who they play. Like, the Red Wings are so deep with so many Hall of Famers on their roster that, you know, like, it's not gonna, you know, like, that's gonna be like a 4 or 5 game series, like, if the Flames meet Detroit. Like, that, it's not realistic. The only ones that I think they might have a shot against are Vancouver or San Jose, but even then, like, it's gonna not be likely, and it'll be hell getting through.
Yeah, I mean, even looking at the San Jose roster, right? I mean, we got Patrick Marleau, Nils Ekman, Jonathan Chichu, their young prospect, Alan McCauley, Marco Strom, Vincent Danfus, who we talked about earlier, Brad Stewart, Wayne Primo, Scott Thornton. Like, this is a lineup, unlike the Flames, is built for the playoffs.
Yeah, and you look at, you know, say Detroit, like, you know, they've got Hatcher, Schneider, Shanahan, Iserman, you know, like all of these teams are so ridiculously good. Like,
yeah, I mean, you were talking about Detroit, right? I mean, Datsyuk, Brett Hull, Brendan Shanahan, Iserman, Matthew Schneider, Zetterberg, Ray Whitney, Chris Draper, Lindholm, Maltby, Holmstrom. I mean, even a guy like Steve Thomas, Chris Chelios, Yari Fisher. Like, this is pretty much this could be an all-star team.
Oh, I know. And, like, they're the best team in the West for a reason. And, yeah, it'll be, like, it's important for the Flames to come out in the last couple games of the year and try to cement a position that's higher than 7th or 8th, just because, you know,
you're gonna get crushed.
yeah, you're going to get absolutely destroyed, regardless of, like, if you're playing Detroit or San Jose, like, you're not likely going to win either of those series. And, you know, Vancouver is probably the only one that you have a possibility of winning. And even then, it's going to be very tough. And Colorado, you're pretty much hooped.
Well, let's talk about Colorado. I mean, they've got Joe Sakic now, who's plus 80 points. Alex Tanguy, a guy I would love to see have a long run with the Flames at some point. I don't know if it's feasible, but
Well, he did score those two goals in Game 7 of the 0-1 Finals, the only two goals in that game. So, you know, like, he definitely can come in the clutch. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see if the Flames ever get a guy like that.
Yeah, but I don't know what it would take. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
Milan Hajduk, Peter Forsberg, Rob Blake, Connor Walchuk, Kariya, Solani, Lyles, Foote, Derek Morris, former Flames pick.
Their only weakness is David Abisher is nowhere near the goaltender as Patrick Waugh. And even then, it's one of those, that group ahead of Abisher is so good that.
Yeah, I think he's good enough.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, his backup, Philip Sauvé, is no better. And we've even seen Tommy Salo play some games for them. I mean, that's not an option anymore.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'll be honest. I'm most scared of Detroit, and I'm most scared of Colorado.
Yeah.
I don't know which one.
Just too many offensive weapons. Yeah, like, it. Realistically, though, like, it's likely going to be a 5 or 6 game series, and then the Flames will go home with at least the happiness that they got to the playoffs for the first time in 7 years. And
they just get to start golfing a couple weeks later.
Yep. And we'll see how it goes, but, you know, it'll be a lot of fun, and I'm sure that the Sea of Red will be very enthusiastic starting in Game 3.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no way at this point that we start at home.
No.
So, you know, whatever it is, it'll be Games 3, 4 in Calgary, and then it'd be
Game 6 if necessary.
Yeah. So the most we can get's those three, but we're
And then you just hope for another one or two after that.
Yeah. I think the Flames' big playoff, hopes are gonna ride on their goaltenders. We've seen Mika Kiprusoff come in this year since Daryl brought him in. We've seen him look really good. Do you think that this is a guy that can, you know, steal a couple games in the playoffs for the Flames? Like, this run has got to, this run of amazing play has to stop at some point, right?
Well, you know, goaltenders are the thing that can derail good team seasons. And, like, in 1993, the Montreal Canadiens were nowhere near a favorite to win the Stanley Cup. And Patrick Waugh just said, yeah, it's mine, I don't care. And basically won that cup by himself, and like winning 13 games in overtime that year. And, you know, a goaltender can, you know, if you can't score on them, you will eventually win the game. So, you know, if Kiprusoff stands on his head, like we've seen for the balance of this season, you know, the Flames might be able to steal a round or two just because he goes into God mode. And the Flames have enough talent on this team where they can chip in a few goals here and there. You know, sometimes that might just be enough, but
I'd love to see the Flames beat the Sharks just so that Kiprusoff can rub their noses in it.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. Yeah.
I don't think we'll get that far.
We could match up with them in round one. It just depends on how.
Yeah, it depends. Goes. It's not what I'm guessing is going to happen.
No.
And, you know, I mean, Mika Kiprusoff's looking really good here. But as we've talked about, this is a guy who was a third string goalie when we brought him in. Like, what is the upside? Do you think this, we've really been searching for number one goalie since Mike Vernon, you know, Trevor Kidd, those guys. Do you think this is a guy that is kind of has a good season and then goes back to being Turek or somebody else's backup next year? Do you think this is goaltender that'll be here for a while? What do you think, you know, the likelihood is 20 years from now in 2024 that they raise his number to the rafters?
Well, if he plays like this for the rest of his career, then yeah.
But that's it. Like, what's the likelihood there, right?
Well, you know, you just kind of have to take it one season at a time. And, you know, he will determine through his play what happens with him. And, like, the Flames will have him as their starting goaltender for as long as he is amazing.
I mean, I didn't even know this guy existed coming into this season.
No, like, you know, you have to be pretty deep into the depth charts of other teams to know, you know, guys like Kiprusoff. And,
especially,
you know,
San Jose, Darryl, two goalies I think could both be starters.
Yeah, and Darryl, being very intimately aware of their organization, knew what he had there in Kiprusoff. And, you know, he pulled a sneaky on the Sharks, and the Flames are huge winners from that trade. And, you know,
could be. Regardless, it'll depend on what the Sharks turn that second rounder into.
Well, even if they get a really good defenseman or forward from that plays for him for 10 years, like, you know, like if Kiprusoff plays like he has, you know, and continues to be an excellent starting goaltender, it won't matter who that player is. The Flames will win this trade in a landslide.
We've seen Roman Turek hurt for most of the year, now back as, I guess, the backup. Weird thing to say. How much do you think Roman Turek is going to be relied on for the Flames in the playoffs? Do you think Kiprusoff gets, let's say it's a 5 or 6 game series, gets all 6? Do you think that we, you know, we'll see Turek in there at all?
Well, we saw a couple, like last year with Carolina, how they used Artur Zerbe and Kevin Weeks, and would kind of, like, whenever one got cold, they'd throw the other guy in. And
I think with all the teams we're talking about, they've all got two viable goalies. I mean,
yeah, and, like, the Flames do have the benefit of having the best backup of any of the playoff teams. Like, Roman Turek could be a starting goaltender.
Oh, I thought you meant Danny Severn.
Yeah, but, you know, having Turek in there as the backup, you know, like, you know, he could carry a series by himself. Like, and he has played well before, and, you know, he was a very good goaltender with the St. Louis Blues, so, before, and played well in the postseason in those games as well. So it's one of those where, you know, like if Kiprusoff slows down for whatever reason or starts having a bad stretch of games, you could throw Turek in as a viable replacement to kind of try and switch your fortunes.
Yeah, I mean, in 2001, Turek played 14 playoff games with the Blues, had a pretty much 2 goals against average. And, I mean, that's pretty good for the playoffs. And then the year before, 7 with a 2.75 goals against average. So 9-5-0 in 2000, 2001, and in 99, 2003, 4-0. You know, I think you need the guy with the playoff experience. And it's going to be really interesting to see if Darryl will continue to ride Mika Kiprusoff or if he'll go with the proven sort of veteran playoff guy come game one. Who would you be putting in the net?
Well, I think you ride Kiprusoff until he plays poorly. And even if you're going all the way to Stanley Cup Finals, I think you ride Kipper until he falters. And if he does, and, like, he has a really bad game or two, and, like, there's enough time in the series, then I think you could swap over for Turek. Like, say the Flames go down 2-1 in a series with Kipper playing poorly in 2, you could throw Turek out for game 4 in that hypothetical to try and reset things. But, you know, we'll see. I don't foresee anybody but Kipper getting the net as the starter. He might get pulled here and there.
Yeah, and I think you've got to have a short leash on him. Like, if he's not looking good, put the veteran in.
Yeah.
Even though Turek hasn't looked great this season and coming off his injury, he's the proven veteran guy there. Outside the goalies, Matt, obviously, you know, Jerome McGinley needs to have a great postseason. But anybody here that you think really needs to step up? Anybody think is going to surprise in the postseason for us?
Well, I think in the playoffs, you need your veteran guys to carry the day. And, you know, guys that have been there before, like your Rhett Warreners, like your Chris Simons, like your Martin Jelena, like your Craig Conroy's, like all of those guys have been to the playoffs multiple times. You know, Aginla needs to learn how to be the leader on a playoff team. Like, he did start his NHL career in the playoffs, but, you know, and then has been there for 7 years. So, like, this is his first real opportunity as a leader on a team. So between, like, the couple of forwards and, you know, some of the veteran defensemen, you know, I think those are the guys that you're going to be needed to be relied on to carry this team, and hope that the youth and the scrappiness of the Nilsson line carry the day.
Yeah, you know, I think when we look at some of those older guys, I mean, you know, like you said, we've got, you know, Conroy is going to need a step up there. Even a guy like Dean McCammon, I think, is going to have to step up. I don't know why, but I have a feeling here that Marty Jelena is probably going to play a bigger role in this playoff run than we think he's going to. I don't know why. He's a veteran guy. He seems to have his positioning right. I wouldn't be surprised if the Flames make it out of round one, if this is the guy who is scoring a pivotal goal there.
Yeah. Well, and I'm just got to pause here for a second. McCammon wasn't eligible to play for us in the playoffs that year, or after the trade. But yes.
Okay. So, all right. Well, let's go through that again then.
Yeah.
Why don't we just redo the whole thing about? We'll do the whole thing about who's. See, it's somebody like McCammon's been here and back, and I get confused by timelines way back then.
Yeah, just start from the Jelena part forward, and just, you know.
You know, I think a guy that might surprise here, Matt, Marty Jelena. Like, this is a guy who's a proven NHLer. He's, you know, an older guy in this team. He's had a good season. He's done what he's expected to do. But I don't know why. I just think that if the Flames make it out of round one, Jelena's going to be a big part of that team.
Well, and he's scored a couple of pivotal goals in the past. I think he scored a series-winning goal with Vancouver. I think he might have had one with Edmonton in his rookie year. In 1990 when they won the cup. We'll see. You know, he seems to be one of those guys who elevates his game in the playoffs, and there's a lot of guys that need to show a lot in this playoffs if the Flames want to move past the first round.
For sure. It's, you know, and I think, like we talked about, all those young guys, Jerome definitely needs to be the guy that's going to carry this team. Outside of Kiprusoff, if Jerome doesn't have a great playoff, they're going nowhere.
Yeah,
I don't even exactly think they get 5 games out of this.
No, and realistically, it's going to be an all-hands-on-deck for if the Flames want to do anything, really. And need all 20 players skating in the same direction, pulling the same way. Because if you just look on raw talent, you know, like, the Flames are not as good as all of the other four teams. Like, you know, you just look at the number of Hall of Famers that are on each of those teams. Like, you know, like, it's, you know, you're not going to be having an easy time with any of them realistically. So, you know, like, it's one of those where, you know, the Flames are going to have their work cut out for them, and thankfully that they've got a coach that knows everything about hard work.
That's right. And, you know, for Jerome to do well, Craig Conroy's got to do well. I mean, these guys seem to be a pairing here. You know, one doesn't often do really well without the other. So, you know, I think if we're going to see the Flames do anything here, Craig Conroy's going to need to step up just like a Ginla.
Oh, I agree. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see
another how good, hardworking guy.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how everybody plays once the games actually matter.
Craig Conroy, I mean, Matt, he's in his 30s now. He's, what, 32? I mean, this is a hardworking guy. This is a guy that I think a lot of fans love here. Wouldn't it be, I mean, I don't know. He seems to love Calgary, too. Like, he's played in a lot of places. He seems to really like Calgary. This is a guy, well-spoken, seems to know the game. It'd be crazy if 20 years from now he was the GM here, son, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, when teams hire their alumni, it tends to not go too well, so hopefully he bucks the trend if that ever happens.
You know, it'd be even more crazy if he was the GM? Jerome was one of his assistants.
Okay, you're getting into fantasy land here. Knock it off.
Imagine if Jelena was working for the team and, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just hire the whole team.
That's right.
Yeah, sure.
Dave Lowry could be a head coach at some point. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, go away now.
They'd have to hire Reggie at that point, too. I don't know where he'd fit in the office. But, it'd be crazy if, you know, 20 years from now, some of these guys were still a big part of this organization in other ways.
Yeah. Well, lots of hockey to be played between now and then.
Hey, Lanny's still kicking around, right?
True.
Not on the ice, but, you know, what Flames event do we have that Lanny's not kicking around for?
Oh, exactly.
So, I think we both agreed Vancouver is our desired opponent here. San Jose second.
But, yeah, realistically, it's, yeah, no matter who, we're basically hooped.
I guess I'm just looking at who are going to be embarrassed by the least. Like, if we go Colorado or Detroit, we're going to be out of the Saddle Dome after two home games.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just hoping for a third one.
Well, that's it. And I don't even think you get to game five against Colorado or Detroit. Maybe San Jose. I think Vancouver's your best bet here to not be embarrassed.
Sure. Realistically, Vancouver's the only team I could see the Flames beating possibly.
Yeah, and you know, with the distance, I could see a lot of Flames fans actually going over to Vancouver for those first couple games too.
True.
Yeah, I don't know. It's scary to think about any of these teams.
Yeah, they're just so good. So it'll be fun regardless. And I'm sure that everybody's going to be partying regardless of how far this goes.
Enjoy it while it's there, because it might be a while till it comes back.
Yep.
Well, Matt, we've got two more home games before we get there. Let's look ahead to the next week for the Flames. On April 2nd, they're going to be at home taking on the LA Kings. I'm still not used to this weird Kings logo, this crown. I'm so used to that thing that they wore. I don't even know what you call that shape when Gretzky was there. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure I like the current Kings look. And then on the 4th, they close out the season at the Dome against the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. What are you thinking for these two games?
The Flames don't tend to do well in Anaheim. They just seem to always lose against the Ducks.
These are both away games. Never mind. I read the schedule wrong.
Yeah, so like it's very difficult to win in the Honda Center for whatever reason. It doesn't matter if they're bad and we're good. We're good and they're bad. Whatever. Like regardless, the Flames always lose in Anaheim. So I'm going to say a loss on that one then. They need the 2 points, so I'll go with the win against the Kings.
This is really a weird road trip. Like they played last week. They played the Coyotes and the Sharks on the road. Then they came home and took on LA and Phoenix here, and then they're going on the road again back to California. It's such a weird kind of week.
Yeah, it's like you couldn't have just swapped some of those games around.
Well, that would make the most sense, wouldn't it? Like, just keep them in California and then play the last two games at home.
Yeah.
I'd have to look. I don't know if the Hitmen are using the arena or what's going on.
Yeah, the scheduling is always bizarre. So, like, I don't recall a season where it's not bizarre. So, you know, logic, you know, is out the window. Like, oh, let's travel all this way, all the way down to the other side of the continent and then come all the way back just to go right back. Like, very dumb.
And if they play San Jose, pretty much just stay there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's or you know, go all the way over to Detroit. So it could be a very weird couple weeks. What was your prediction for this week? Sorry.
Win against LA, a loss against Anaheim. Just because we always suck in the Honda Center.
Yeah, you know the Honda Center is going to be a loss, don't you? Yeah, I think the Ducks have to be a loss. I'm not sure what to predict for the LA game. I'll go loss. I don't know the Flames roll the momentum they need going into the playoffs.
Yeah, and realistically, you know, we do have a bit of a cushion on the teams behind us. Like, we're currently sixth. I don't think we can catch Dallas for fifth, but, you know, it could happen, but I think it's one of those where you need them to lose out and us to win out, and I think we're just, you know, treading water above the seventh and eighth place teams, and we'll see.
Who do you put in goal for these? Do you rest Kiprusoff? Do you play Kiprusoff?
I think you got to just run with Kipper all the way.
Do you think you sit anybody?
Possibly in the last game. Depends on if anybody's banged up.
Yeah, I think, like you said, the Flames are at a point where they're barely hanging on to six. I think you got to run the full lineup and just secure those points. All right, well, Matt, that brings us to the end of our show. We will talk to everybody next week after the Ducks game, and hopefully we'll have more clarity on who they play in the playoffs, and we'll get ready for round one.
Yep, and as always, go Flames, go.
So, April Fools to everybody, this is an episode we've wanted to do for a long time, sort of recapping a week, some point from the 2004 season, considering that our show comes out on Mondays, and Monday happens to be the first this year, as well being the 20th anniversary, we thought this would be a great week to do it. And Matt, that was a lot of fun. I'm curious how many people are still listening when they were just talking about Donovan and, you know, Conroy and thought, what? I downloaded the wrong episode. So, hopefully everybody enjoyed that. I know Matt and I did, and we will be back next week to go back to the present and talk about the 2004 season.
Fireside Chat is hosted by Dan Stevenson, co-hosted by Matt DeBorg. This episode produced and edited by Peter Marino. Fireside Chat is licensed under a Creative Commons license. For full license details, visit firesidechat.ca.